Hi everyone, Brian Hitney, Developer Evangelist with Microsoft here with another short form screencast on Windows Azure, this time talking about monitoring your Azure deployments. Now typically if you're deploying a standard ASP.NET web application, you would use performance counters to monitor your applications, and with Windows Azure it's really no different, but how you set them up and then how you monitor those log files is a bit different. So let's go through some steps and I'll show you how to do it. The first thing that we're going to do is open up the Windows Azure portal. Now, typically, you would log into the portal if you want to work with your applications, upload a new deployment, that kind of thing. But the other thing that we can do, and if I click on the account link here, we'll be taken to the account page. And the first thing that you'll see are the API certificates and a link to manage your API certificates. Now, the management API is very powerful because it lets you do everything, and in some cases, more, a lot more than what you can do through the web interface alone. You'll soon see that by having a certificate installed, you can do a lot more. And so what I've got here is, if you look at the screen, I already have one certificate that I created and I uploaded it. We can see the thumbprint that's here, the valid dates, and so on. Now, what you have to do is you have to create a CER certificate file and then upload it here to your account. And then once it's installed, your applications can send this certificate with every request, and that authenticates the application to the Azure Management API. So the obvious next question then is, how do I create a certificate file? So what I've got open here is a command prompt, and there's a couple of different ways you could do this. You could do this directly within IIS 7 if you'd like. There you can create a self-signed certificate. But what I'm going to do here is, I already have a command that I created using the Make Cert utility that comes with the Windows SDK and Visual Studio. So what I'm going to do here is create a self-signed certificate, and by using this it will install the certificate inside my local computer certificate store and then create a public key, in this case to the Azure Service Test.cer file. So I'll click Run, and you can see that the message that came back was succeeded. And if I go to that folder, you'll see that I have the Azure Service Test.cer file that was just created. So the next thing then is to take the certificate and upload it inside the Azure environment. So I'll do that here by clicking Browse. And find out where I put this guy. Here it is. We'll open it up, upload. There we go. And we can see that my Azure Service Test certificate is now installed. So we can go ahead and create as many certificates as we'd like and upload them here, and that might serve different purposes for your application. So with the certificate installed here, the next thing we can do is we can leverage that in our applications. So let's go ahead and create a test application. What I'm going to do is come over here to Visual Studio, and we'll create a new cloud service project. So we'll just click File, New Project, and select Windows Azure Cloud Service. And we'll just give it a single ASP.NET web role. So here's our empty project, and I'll just put empty project here so I could see this when the site comes up. Now, strictly speaking, in this screencast, I'm focusing mostly on monitoring, but because we're dealing with the management API and I need to upload my project here just to show you how it works, I'm going to have to talk about deployment as well. Now, if I come into the service configuration file, one of the things that you're going to see is we have a diagnostics connection string that's added by default. The diagnostics connection string tells Windows Azure Diagnostics where to put the data that it collects. Now, to set this up, what happens is, when you deploy your project and you start the Windows Azure Diagnostics Monitor, which happens by default unless you purposely turn it off, the Diagnostics Monitor will collect information that you specify. Now, we don't have access to our VMs directly, so we can't connect and download this data off of the VMs. So what the Windows Azure Diagnostics Monitor will do is, it will upload that data to an Azure table storage account of our choice. By default, we'll see that says Use Development Storage. So if we're running this locally, that'll be just fine. But because I'm going to upload this, what I'm going to do is just paste in a different setting that has a different endpoint this time. We're going to use the WorldMaps test storage account that I've got up in Azure that's currently provisioned for me. The next thing we're going to do is look at the webroll.cs file that gets added by default. Now, the only thing that you can see here is in the onStart method, we have a single diagnosticsMonitor.start call, and it passes in the diagnostics connection string from the service configuration file. So right now we're not customizing this at all, so it's just going to start and it's basically going to do nothing for us. But it's still important to start it. If we don't start it, then we lose the ability to modify it later on. And that's an important point because you might not know what performance counters you would like to capture or what events to trace. You might have a specific time period that you'd like to do it. You need the diagnostics monitor running to do this. But let's go ahead and customize this. And what we're going to do is we're going to add a few performance counters and capture some Windows event logs and then also the Azure application logs themselves. So the first thing that we're going to do is grab the diagnostics monitor configuration. So we've got our default diagnostics monitor configuration. The next thing we need to do is add performance counters to it. Now within the diagnostics monitor configuration itself, there's a performance counters property that has a data sources collection that we can add to it, any number of performance counters that we'd like. What we need to tell the diagnostics monitor is what performance counter we'd like to monitor and then what the sample rate is. That is, how often are we going to look at that value? So let's start by looking at the total processor time. So we'll create a new performance counter configuration and we'll just specify the counter specifier, which is the actual string of the performance counter we want to measure, and then the sample rate, which is how often we'd like to sample the data. So what we've just done is we've modified the performance counter's data sources and we just added a new performance counter configuration looking at the total processor time. So this is the standard identifier for this particular performance counter. Now I will note here that you can only use the standard built-in performance counters. You can't create your own. That's because doing so requires admin rights on the box, which we don't have in the cloud. But we can use any of the built-in performance counters that are available in a default server instance. So we can look at processor time, memory, any number of performance counters that are typically available on a system. So let's also go ahead and look at the available memory for our application. This time we'll look at the total amount of available megabytes. And for each of these, we're going to pull them every 5 seconds. If you were leaving your performance counters running long term, you could spread this out and maybe look at them every 60 seconds or whatever's appropriate for your application. If you needed more fine-tuned monitoring, you can of course bring this down to every second or whatever makes sense for your application. The next thing we need to do is we need to tell the Windows Azure Diagnostics Monitor how often to transfer all the data that it has captured over to our Azure Table Storage account. So we'll tell it to transfer everything every 1 minute. So essentially every minute this thing is going to transfer roughly 20 pieces of data that it captured on each of these. So every minute we're inserting 40 rows into the table storage account. So that's just a quick way to calculate how much data you're capturing. Now, if I don't need this every 1 minute, I can make that whatever time frame I'd like. Depending on how much data you're capturing, though, there is a finite amount of space. So if you're capturing a ton of data, make sure you're balancing the amount of data that you're capturing with the frequency at which you upload that data. Now, the last thing that I'll do is we'll configure the Azure application log so I can get that data straight from my application. This is really useful if I'd like to capture all the trace statements within my app. Now, when we specify the scheduled transfer log level filter, this tells us how granular do we want to get with our data, because obviously we can capture a ton of different data. So if we look at the log level, we'll see an enumeration of everything from informational or undefined all the way up to warning, error, and critical. We might not care about information level events. So what we could do is I could specify warning and it would give me warning, error, critical. Or if I'd like to get everything possible, I could specify verbose, and then that, of course, will give me everything. What I'm going to do here is I'm just going to specify information or higher. So that should give me information, warning, error, or critical events. And then what we're going to do is specify how often to transfer these to our table storage. So we'll transfer these every 1 minute as well. We still have our diagnostics monitor start called, but what we'll have to do is pass in our custom diagnostics configuration settings. And that's just an overload on the start call. Now, every time our application starts up, it will begin capturing this data for us. What I'll do right beneath this here is we'll actually put in a trace statement so when our app starts up, it will write something to our log file. So right away, we should see that entry. As our app spins up, we should see done configuring diagnostics. The other thing I can do is if we come down here, one of the things you're going to see is that the default web role class doesn't override any of the other base methods. So what I can do is come in here and let's go ahead and override on stop. And what we're going to do is just put a trace statement on stop called. And I might elevate this to a warning because this should really not happen unless something is going on with my application. And then we'll just call base.onStop. Back in my solution, if I go to the default page, we'll go ahead and put an event in here. Now, obviously, we wouldn't do this in a real application because that would generate potentially quite a few entries, but I want to put something in here just to illustrate that the message will get uploaded to the storage for us. So we might have a situation where we have a try-catch block, for example, and then within that catch block, we could put a trace statement and get that message into diagnostics. So let's try building this solution, and we should see that it'll build okay. The next thing I'm going to do is come back into the Solution Explorer and let's click Publish. And what this will do is this will automatically open the web interface for us to upload our package, and then it will also create our package files and upload the and open them in Windows Explorer. So that's a handy way to see them here. Now, what I'm going to do is instead of uploading these in the traditional sense through the website, what I'd like to do is I'm going to show you how we can use the Management API to do this for us programmatically. So I'm going to copy the path here that I just created these. Now, if I had a custom build process, I can copy these somewhere else. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a couple of different scripts that I've created in PowerShell. These are all using the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets that you can download off of code.msdn.com. And what we need to do is get our certificate from our store. And what you do is you can specify your thumbprint that you could see inside the web app. It'll show you what the thumbprint is of the certificate. The other thing we'll do is we'll need to specify some information such as our subscription ID. That too is available under the account settings on the website. Then the service name, in this case I have a service name called World Maps Test. And then we need to specify the package file and the config file. So that's why I copied those paths here. So this one just happens to be called Cloud Service 1.cspkg. Now, if I was writing these out to the same location every time, I won't need to edit the script at all, but for the sake of this demo, I'm just doing these one off. So we specified all these things. Now, the other thing I'd like to do is label my deployment with the current date. So I'll create a date time label here that will just follow this format. Obviously, you could label them however you'd like, but I find it handy to have them labeled by the date. And then what we'll do is, and you can see all this documentation, by the way, up for on the PowerShell commandlets, but we'll add the management tool snap in. And then we're going to do a few things. The first thing here, and by the way, one thing you're going to notice is that with every operation, we need to send our certificate and our subscription ID. So you'll see that pattern repeated over and over again. So for example, here we're calling get hosted service. We'll pass in the service name, our certificate, and the subscription ID. And what we'll also do is create a new deployment in the staging slot with the package that we specified, with the config file that we specified, and the label we specified. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to wait for that to complete because otherwise it's done asynchronously. Once that's complete, let's come down here and we'll do the same thing where we'll call get deployment on what we just uploaded, and now let's set the deployment status to running, and then we'll wait for that to complete. So what we should see here, instead of having to upload this through the website, we should just be able to run this once, and it will upload the package. Once that's done, it will essentially click the run button for us and get that up and running. So let me save this package here. Now I'm going to run that. So I'll come over here to my PowerShells and I have deploy test. So let's just say run with PowerShell. Now this is going to take some time, so we'll just wait for that to finish. So while we're waiting for the staging environment to get fully operational, let me show you a couple other PowerShell scripts. The first one is a very quick way that we can change the number of instances for our application. And we could do that very similarly like we did in the deploy test script, where we just call get hosted services, and again we pass in the service name, certificate, and subscription. Also, I can choose which slot. In this case, we could pick staging, and then I can increase the role instance count by one, or I could subtract from it, or I could set it to a certain value. So this allows us to scale our application. I can also do this programmatically, where perhaps my application is busy during business hours, so I can have this scale up and down based on that, or I can also have it look at performance counters. It's really up to you to decide how to manage your application. The one thing you do want to be careful of, though, is that if you're removing instances and those instances are in the middle of doing something, that can cause a disruption, particularly if it's doing some kind of long-running process. But generally speaking, for web roles, I found the process to be very smooth, where we can scale up and down dynamically, because what we'll do is when we tell it to decrease the number of instances, for example, it will automatically remove that from the Azure Fabric controller. And then shut it down. So I have not yet seen an instance where that has caused a problem to an end user. The other PowerShell script we can look at is called Performance Counters. And what this does is this allows us to modify the performance counters of our deployment. This script is a little bit more complicated, but what I'll do here is I'll create three different performance counters, and I'll emit right now that I'm not a PowerShell guru, but what we'll do is we'll create a process counter, a memory counter, and a request counter. And one thing you can notice here that this looks very similar to the script that we created, or the code that we wrote inside the web role class to define these. What I'll do is we'll create a new performance counter configuration. We'll specify the counter specifier and then the sample rate, which I defined above as every few seconds or so. Then what I'll do is I'll clear all the current data sources that the application is currently using, and then I'll go ahead and add those. The final thing that we need to do is call set performance counter right here. And what we'll do is we'll pass in all the performance counters, the current role, the deployment, and then also specify a global transfer period for everything. In this case, it's 1 minute. And then we also need to specify which storage account to transfer the logs to. So this is really important because now this means that I can on demand change the performance counters that I'm measuring. So if I have a specific application that I'm looking at, I can go ahead and ramp up my monitoring of it for a specified time and then shut it down when I'm not going to be looking at those counters. And most importantly, do that without redeploying my application. So let's go back and see how our app is doing. We can see now that web role 1 is in the busy state. Busy is typically immediately before you'll see it come into ready. We have a website URL here that is just the deploymentid.cloudapp.net. We should see this turn ready any second now, and then we can open the page. In fact, I might be able to get away with opening it right now. And there we go. We see empty project, which was part of the default.aspx page. And as you remember, every time we loaded this page, we should see a trace statement in our app, and then we should also see performance counters that we specified. We specified the processor and the memory. And so what I'm going to do now is open up Cloud Storage Studio, and we'll connect to the WorldMaps test storage, and I'll open up the tables. Now right away I can see two tables that were created by Windows Azure Diagnostics. One is called Logs Table, and the other one is the Performance Counters table. So the logs table is where we'll see all of our trace statements. And if I open that up, you can see that just like a typical Azure storage table, we have a partition key, a row key, a timestamp, and then all the information that gets logged. So you can see here that the message was done configuring diagnostics. Remember, we put that in the on start right when we were done. Now we should also see in here our page that was requested. Very likely we missed that transfer window. If I refresh, I might see that get added in. There we go. And if I come over here, we should see that the page load was called. So there can be obviously a little bit of latency here depending on how frequently you're transferring those to your Azure Storage Table account. Now, if I open up the Performance Counters table, we'll see a lot more entries in here. In fact, I could see about 58 entries. And I can see that the memory, we have about 1.2 gig of RAM, and the processor utilization started out really high because that's just right where we deployed it. And we're looking at it every 5 seconds, so we should see it drop over time, hopefully. See here, it drops to 65%, 86%, and so on. So we should see that drop as the once the service becomes online. It's just like booting a machine. It takes just a little bit of time for it to finish loading everything. With all this data now that we're capturing, and you can see here that we've now got 154 entries, looking at it this way, while it certainly provides us with the information, it's not terribly useful for what we need to do. One of the things that we can do is we could try to visualize this data. Now, you might have a process that takes this data and does that for you. One of the tools that Sarah Broad is working on, and I've got the first released version of it here, is called Azure Diagnostics Monitor. And this is really cool because what it does is it allows us to view our log files a little bit cleaner than looking at them directly in table storage, but then it also allows us to look at our performance counters visually. Let's first look at the trace logs. What I can do is open those up and we'll just tell it to grab everything that's available. And you can see here those two trace statements, done configuring diagnostics, and then our page was hit. The nice thing about this is that it's a lot easier, of course, to read the information in here than it is to look in the table. But a small difference too to take note of is that the date and time column here is the date and time of the actual event. If you go back to here, for example, what we have is we have a timestamp column, but this is the timestamp when Windows Azure Diagnostics inserted this row into the table. Otherwise, we have to go by the event tick count column here to get the exact time that the event happened. The other cool thing we can do is dive into performance counters, and we should see the two performance counters here that we've been capturing. And you could see that we've got 89 data points for each one and the total processor time. And I can click graph, and what this will show me is the total processor time. So we could see here that while the app was currently coming online, we had very high processor utilization, and now it seems to have dropped off. Likewise, for the available memory, you can see here that we're doing good at about 1.3 gig of RAM available to our app. Now, let's look at the world maps data because this has been capturing data a lot longer, so we can use this to show trends a little bit better. So for example, I can come in here and show the total number of ASP.NET requests per second for world maps. And you can see here that if I look at this data over the last couple of days, specifically during business hours, which is roughly in this time period right here, we can see that we spike up to about 2.5 requests per second, and then in the evening, right around midnight Eastern time or 5 a.m. GMT, we hit a low of typically just under one request per second. And so I could see this pattern here very clearly. So being able to visualize this is really important because this now means is as the site traffic continues to grow, I can also now figure out the best times to deploy multiple instances of my application. In addition, I can come in here into the amount of RAM that's available. And this is kind of interesting because what I can look at is the application does pretty extensive caching. And so as the app runs over time, we could see that the available RAM slowly goes down. This is really important for me because this lets me fine-tune how aggressive my cache management is. Right here, we see a spike in available memory, and this has actually occurred because I deployed a change to the application. So of course, we shot up in the amount of available RAM because the new VM came online. And then finally, CPU consumption is typically very low. Likewise here, I have a spike. That's when I deployed a new instance. But otherwise, the CPU utilization is nothing to be concerned with. In fact, it's very low. So I think you can agree, looking at these data points here, in fact, there's 427 data points for all three of these. So we have over 1,200 rows in the table then that we need to look at. Seeing them visually is much more impactful than looking at them in the table. So at the time of this recording, Azure Diagnostics Manager is in private beta with Sarah Brada. You can go out to their website and check it out. So far, I've been really impressed with this tool. It's been great to visualize performance counters. Now, what they don't have implemented yet is the ability to change the performance counters dynamically. But however, that functionality, I'm told, will be coming. So that'll be pretty important, I think, to be able to go into your instances and manually update which performance counters you're capturing, the transfer period. Another thing that the Windows Azure Diagnostics Monitor supports is transfer on demand. So we can go ahead and let it build up a bunch of information, but if I have something pressing that I want to see, Diagnostics is only transferring those every 10 minutes. I can go ahead and issue an on-demand transfer, and it will flush everything that it currently has stored to table storage so I can see that data immediately. At a very minimum, within our applications, what you want to make sure in the web role itself that the Diagnostics Monitor is at least running. Whether or not you're creating specific performance counters is completely up to you, but at least have the Diagnostics Monitor running so we can configure it dynamically from outside our application using the Management API. So this has been a really quick look at configuring your applications and how to grab performance metrics off of it so you understand how to scale your applications more effectively. My blog is www.structure2big.com, and what I'm going to do is upload samples to my blog. So if you've watched a screencast, either from my blog or from Channel 9, I'll have those demos, uploaded and code snippets that you can use inside your applications. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.